Are you ready for the quantum age?
Humanity's next step in evolution?
Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you to the extraordinary platform of evolutionary voices for the quantum age.
Let's explore. Learn more about this upcoming age where we bridge science with spirituality.
Where potentiality meets reality.
Where we take compassion into action.
Our trailblazers and visionaries will ask the whys, the what ifs, while igniting continuous possibility.
Come along with us into an age beyond what we know today, where we can grow together in unity consciousness.
Experience evolutionary voices for the quantum age, Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on DreamVision7Radio.com.
Welcome to Awakening to True Happiness with modern-day mystic David Hoffmeister, offering you the how-to to spiritual awakening by addressing on a practical level answers to your deepest questions. David Hoffmeister is a world-renowned teacher of A Course in Miracles and has been traveling the world for the past quarter of a century, offering his wisdom to audiences wherever invited. On this show, you'll hear recordings of David's best live talks, inviting you into an experience of deep wisdom and true clarity. To learn more about David, visit his website at davidhoffmeister.com. Awakening to True Happiness with David Hoffmeister is part of Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age, heard Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Hi, everyone. Welcome. You're in for a big treat today. Everyone is in for a huge, huge treat. This is like a birthday present for you from Jesus. But the birthday for Jesus is to be reborn again. As he told Nicodemus 2,000 years ago, when Nicodemus was saying, what do you mean by I have to be born again? Do I have to enter my mother's womb again? Jesus says, no. You know, to be born again, you are born again in spirit. You are born again in the present moment. You are born again in the gateway to eternity, which is to be fully present, like all the mystics and saints have talked about. It doesn't have anything to do with the horizontal plane, but it does have to do with your willingness to give up the belief in the horizontal plane and then take the vertical plane of the present moment back to eternal life. So today's movie, I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. Today's movie is the ultimate forgiveness movie. And I mean the singular ultimate forgiveness movie. I've showed a lot of movies, The Matrix, Truman Show and everything, but this is, wow, you're in for a treat today. This is the ultimate forgiveness movie. Why is it so helpful? Because it's teaching us true forgiveness in the way Jesus wants us to experience it through his teachings in the Bible and A Course in Miracles. And most of us have been accustomed to thinking that we have to forgive people. But Jesus is teaching us that the whole world of time and space and the whole cosmos was made up by the ego. So when you forgive a person, when you try to forgive a person, like your mother, your father, or one of your children, or one of your relatives, or anyone in your life, your boss, any trauma you had, whether you believed you were abused, neglected, whether you were violated, whatever, and you think you're trying to forgive a person, but a person is just the tiny, tiny projection of the ego belief system. Like, if you look at planet Earth right now, there are like over 7.8 billion people on the planet. And you may think that there's some of those that you need to forgive, or maybe there's some that you have in your past that have passed away that you need to forgive, but you never reach the kingdom of heaven by forgiving people, because people are just tiny little projections of the ego belief system. And you have to forgive the ego itself. You have to overlook the belief in separation, not the projections of that belief. You have to actually overlook the ego to reach the kingdom of heaven. Under all of our surface level perceptions, which we call the gross perceptual world of time and space, under that is our belief system. Underneath our gross perceptual world is a ring of fear, and that ring of fear is associated with our unconscious mind, and that unconscious mind is pushed way out of awareness. That's why you have to bring the darkness to the light. You can't bring the light into your perceptual world. You have to bring the darkness in your mind, what you believe to be there, to the light of truth, and it will disappear. And that darkness is covering over the light in our mind. And you might say that time and space in the cosmos is the sleeping mind's attempt to run away from the light. We have beautiful songs from Christian singers like Brandon Lake saying, you know, running to the light. And when we hear that song, ooh, we feel all the joy in our heart, running to the light. But the ego is not running to the light. The ego is trying to hide from the light, run away from the light, do anything it can to block the light. And, you know, we have a world now where, you know, everybody likes to use the word love. I love my husband, my wife, I love my partner, I love my dog, I love my children, I love my town. I love my sports teams. I love the Mets. I love the Yankees. I love. We have all the bumper stickers, but love is so far beyond awareness of this world that Jesus says in his introduction, this course does not aim at teaching the meaning of love because that is far beyond what can be taught. This course aims at removing the obstacles to the awareness of love's presence. So we need forgiveness. He's telling us right there, as long as we have obstacles to the awareness of love's presence, then forgiveness is our great need. Because no one reaches the light except by accepting the atonement, which is complete forgiveness. And atonement releases the inner light. So until you're ready to accept the atonement, the mind is just too afraid to accept that inner light. And this inner light is, Jesus calls it the great rays, he calls it revelation. And he says, if you experience this light directly, the body would not long be maintained. In other words, you wouldn't need the body, it would just kind of disappear from awareness, the consciousness, because you'd think, what's that? I don't need that. We have discussed recently, in recent weeks too, that most people feel that communication is limited to the body, but communication's of the mind. And there's one part in A Course in Miracles where Jesus says that a teacher of God could heal the world without a sound. Okay, without a sound, that must mean that words are not ultimately that important because they're sounds. That must mean that this light in our mind is so powerful that even music, which we all love, is unnecessary. Even words are unnecessary. Everything about time and space, the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets, the black holes, unnecessary. That's how deep this movie is. When you start to go toward the light, you start to realize that anything that you believe that's an obstacle to the awareness of the light, anything that comes in between you and the light is what you need to release. And so we're going way past our forgiveness stories today of trying to forgive people, people we believed wronged us, people we believed that mistreated us, people we believed did things to us against our will. People who need people are the luckiest people in the world. No, even past Barbara Streisand. We have to go past Barbara today because we've got so many stories and we actually feel that we have to forgive people. And Jesus is saying, people are thoughts that represent the grievances that you still hold in your unconscious mind. People are thoughts that represent grievances that are still held in the mind as unconscious. So we should be grateful for the people because they're acting out the part. They're actually helping bring what's unconscious into conscious awareness by acting it out. We should give them Academy Awards, Tony Awards, all the ones that really were the villains in our life. Oh, bravo. That was the best villain scene I remember. Oh, Mom, when you did this to me, Academy Award for you. That was just fantastic. Dad, when you did that to me, that's an Academy Award. We need to start to be grateful for the villain scenes because they were acted out to teach us what we still were holding in our unconscious mind. And then when we're grateful that they acted it out so we could see it, then we have to let it go. We have to say, all right, that's enough of that. I don't really need this theater anymore. I actually would rather run to the light, like Brandon Lake's song, than be dinkering around in the movie theater of the past. But whether it's people that you still have memories of in your past that you haven't forgiven, or maybe it's people that are in your current realm of awareness that you're interacting with on a daily basis, and there's still certain things that annoy you, certain things that irritate you, pass out them Academy Awards. Every one of those annoyances, every one of those irritations is a death wish. It's coming from the belief that you can be separate from God. There are no annoying people. There are no annoying circumstances. There is nothing irritating about planet Earth. Nothing on planet Earth can be irritating unless you want to hold it down in the unconscious mind and then project out a world and blame the world, blame the people for your state of mind. You see how deep this is. In the workbook of A Course in Miracles, I think it's workbook lesson 169, Jesus says, we say God is, and then we cease to speak. In other words, God is not reached through words. We say God is, and then we cease to speak. And then we pray, we go into prayer to be in communion with our Creator. So, since God doesn't have an ego, God doesn't understand words. But God is light, and God knows Christ as light. And for us to know God, we have to recognize that we are the light. We have to identify ourselves purely with light. Zero identification with body, zero identification with world, zero identification with time. Full, total, absolute, complete identification with the light. I am the light of the world. Not just as a cute phrase, but as an actual fact. That is an actual fact. I am the light of the world is a fact. Because it comes from God. Light comes from God. Light is God, and light comes from God. So this movie is going to start to help to dismantle all of our beliefs in interpersonal relationships. It's going to dismantle our beliefs in linear time. And you might say that the ego is very clever and sneaky. So the ego knows that in reality, there's one grievance, and that's the belief in separation from the Creator, the belief you can separate from God. But the ego invented linear time and space to dilute and disguise the one grievance, which is belief in separation from God, and make it into trillions and trillions and trillions of grievances that are perceived in the human condition. You see, that's a pretty sneaky diffusion trick, because if the only grievance is separation from God, and the ego doesn't want you to see that, because if you see that, you'll go beyond it, you'll just release it. But the trillions and trillions and trillions of grievances that we call time-space, with people, with governments, with the environment, with our neighbors, with our pets, all the grievances that we've had, those are just projections of the one grievance. And that's why we need a much deeper perspective of forgiveness than we've had. If we believe that we have to forgive as human beings, and the ego is happy, it's like, oh, I tricked them. First, I tricked them into thinking they're a body, and then I tricked them into thinking they're a person with a private mind and private thoughts, and now I'm tricking them to thinking they have many, many personal grievances. And the ego's like a spider sitting back in the web, just with a big smile on its face, because it is made such a sneaky, tricky, complicated web of perception that the ego is pretty sure in its mind that nobody will escape its prison. It's like no one is going to get that deep to realize that there's only one grievance. But for us, good news is, after 2,000 years, Jesus found a way to get his book, A Course in Miracles, into the realm through Helen Schuckman. And now it's translated into 20-some different languages. And the ego, the spider, is starting to shake a little bit now. Spider's like, uh-oh. They're starting to wake up. This is dangerous stuff. Because if the one mind wakes up, then the ego is out of business. You know, there is no separation in truth. So the first thing I think I want to do is, as we set this up today, is let's go over our movie poll results. This is the outcome of the movie poll, because this is what you asked for. And with these themes, you are now going to get. Jesus is like, all right, you asked for it. I'm going to have to drop the ultimate forgiveness movie on you if you're going to ask for these themes. You asked for it. First one, be convinced that no person or thought is outside my mind. Woo! That's the number one theme that you voted for. Be convinced that no person thought is outside my mind. Bravo! You all get the award for that one. that's a monster of a of a theme, you know. You're asking for it. Number two, healing happens through approach, not avoidance. So this movie is taking us towards Solaris today, and actually toward the light. So if you feel uncomfortable, if you feel intense, if you feel resistance coming up, it's just because of one thing. It's just that we're going opening, and we're going through approaching the light. We're going to approach the light today. Third one, allowing myself to face the deep feelings of emptiness within. Yeah, I think that's why many of us have sought for intimacy in relationships, because we have to face this deep feelings of emptiness within. You know, we're searching for connection, We're searching for intimacy. We're searching for a sense of love and oneness. And somewhere deep inside, we know there's got to be more than deep feelings of emptiness within. We've all felt senses of isolation, aloneness, like we're on our own, like somehow we're wandering on our own. And we want a sense of connection and love and intimacy in a very deep way. Heal my unbelief and the desire to exclude thoughts from your healing light. Wow. Heal my unbelief and the desire to exclude thoughts from your healing light. You know, the ego has tricked the sleeping mind into believing that it can love certain ones, certain people. That's why we even have a phrase for it. We call them loved ones. Loved ones. And then the rest, and then there's all the rest. Jesus is like, oh, come on. Don't think that God's love has loved ones, and then there's all the rest. Even in the Bible 2,000 years ago, occasionally I think the Apostle John would just rest his head sometimes affectionately on Jesus's lap. And then in the Gospel of John, which John purportedly wrote, he refers to John, the one whom Jesus loved. That's pretty cool. Write a gospel and say that you're the one whom Jesus loved. I think agape love, universal love, unconditional love is beyond just one person. But, you know, but that always struck me as funny when I read it. I was like, ooh, the one whom Jesus loved. Wow, that's cool. Who wrote this gospel? Oh, John, come on. Don't think we're fooled by that, John. We know he loved everyone. Having true empathy and discernment with my thoughts. True empathy. That just means let me remember my real thoughts, God, the thoughts I think with you, like I am as you created me. I am as God created me as a real thought. I am spirit is a real thought. Help me remember those thoughts and then help me see the falsity of the rest. Like anything you can think of in time and space, that's the rest. Anything you can think of that involves the five senses, that those cookies smell good. That lake looks beautiful. That toe looks sick. Whatever, any thought that you can come up with in your mind that's not eternal, I am spirit, I am as God created me, those are all the ones we're going to release. And that's why in this movie, even toward the end, it's so profound. It's like the deeper you go toward the truth, the more you can't really recognize the world. You start to see that there's a spirit that is everyone and everything. It is all encompassing, and the spirit is the truth. And anything that would block ourselves from knowing the spirit is what's false. So those are the themes. So in this movie, there is a poem that lines from a poem, a Dylan Thomas poem that are repeated a couple times. And the title of the Dylan Thomas poem is called Death Shall Have No Dominion. Ooh, that's deep. That's the title of the poem. And here's four lines from it. Though they go mad, they shall be sane. Though they sink through the sea, they shall rise again. Though lovers be lost, love shall not, and death shall have no dominion. You see, this is a very hopeful poem, pointing us that The belief in death cannot hold us. We are creations of light, and the belief of death cannot hold us in its grips, because if we believed in it, we can certainly unbelieve in it. we can certainly unplug from that belief if we gave our mind over to it. And so basically, this movie for Chris, the main character, and all the characters, and mainly for us watching the movie, this is our opportunity to start to release the past, to start to realize that the only way we reach true forgiveness is by releasing the past from our mind. It's not about necessarily forgiving people, because people are projections, but it's seeing that the people that we believe that we are, or that we perceive, are the mechanism that is going to be used to help us release the past. You know, I mean, most of us, when we think about forgiveness and releasing grievances, usually we're thinking about people. You know, usually we're not necessarily thinking about countries. You know, like, waking up every day, I can't stand this country. I can't stand that they exist. You know, we're not so angry at the countries, and we're not so angry at different, you know, periods of time in human history or the history of the world. We don't wake up thinking, I cannot stand the Ice Age. I am so pissed at the Ice Age. I know some of you at the monastery are thinking that, but for most people on the planet, they're not thinking, I cannot stand the Ice Age, or the prehistoric age. I can't stand the age of the dinosaurs. You know, no, our grievances are around people that have said or done things that we don't like. Or maybe we projected onto our own body in person, and then we think we've done things wrong as a person. And Jesus is like, no, 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 that's not it. No, you didn't blow it. The problem was you forgot that you're the Christ, and you were identified with that body. And because you were identified, you gave meaning to those behaviors. And then you gave false meaning to those behaviors, and then you felt terrible. And then it turned into a grievance. But that's not the main grievance. Those are just deflectors. Those are just ghost grievances. those aren't the real grievance. You know, he's like, don't worry about it. Here, come with me into the light, and then we'll see if there's any grievances at all in the light. The light is so powerful, and there's no thought of grievances or bodies in the light. So basically, one time I did write, think of it this way, if someone gave you a hot potato to hold, someone put a very hot potato out of an oven in your hand, what would you do? Drop it, right? Nobody. Who's going to hold on to a hot potato? You would immediately drop it. But we would drop it because cause and effect would seem to be immediate. Like, if I hold on to this hot potato, I'm going to get burned bad by holding on to this hot potato. The cause and effect would be immediate of the hot potato and the burn. But the tricky thing about linear time is, when you have an upset, fear, guilt, pain, shame, when you have an upset and you project it to linear time, it gets diluted. It gets spread out over millions and millions of years, so that you effectively forget the original upset and you get all caught up in dealing with the tiny ones. And so it seems to be a long and lengthy process to wake up from the dream of time and space. But what Jesus is doing with this movie is he's saying, do you want to come home? Do you want to come home with me? Because I'm home and you're home, and what you're dealing with now on a daily basis, it need not be. You don't need to be struggling at all, because The correction has already happened, and the light is truly the only thing left to, for you to remember. You don't need to remember scores for or study for exams in the world anymore. You don't need to succeed at relationship experiences. You don't need to succeed at experiences of jobs and careers. You simply need to be willing to face whatever you're experiencing in your daily life as just your great opportunity to let it go. Whatever annoys you about this world is your great opportunity to let it go. Whatever disgusts you, whatever you don't like about the world gives you a huge insight into letting go of the world. So I'm going to let this play. I'll come in and do some commentary from time to time, but this movie is a masterpiece. This movie gradually takes you on a ride where it's a ride of self-discovery. It's a ride of approaching the light. It's a ride of facing any obstacles you still seem to have in your mind that need to be exposed and released. And I think of it as like this is like an open-eyed meditation that you're doing with Jesus to clear the mind of everything that you still believe in that would block awareness of the light, that would block direct connection, direct identification with the light. This is an opportunity to come back deeper inside towards what I call communion. And communion is like the epitome of communication. If you think communication is important in this world, communion with God is so much more important than any of the words or any of the seeming expressions in time and space. But when we believed in separation, then the plan of separation has to be relevant and it has to be practical. You know, Jesus knows that there's a tremendous fear of a light and a fear of awakening. So we're given steps, and this movie is one giant step. Like Neil Armstrong, when he first put his little white boots down into the moon dust and said those words for the human race, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. Well, we're going beyond moon dust today. Watching this movie is just one small step, one movie workshop. But oh, for your mind, this could be one giant leap to remembering the light. That's my prayer. I hope everyone feels that. I feel like we want to be happy, right? We all want to be happy. We all want to be joyful. And our happiness and joy are in the light, in experiencing the light. Basically, here is Chris Kelvin, a psychologist, and through this DBA and through his friend Jabari, and he receives a call for help, a request for help. All calls for help are really our own call for help. We're really never helping anything or anyone outside our mind. Every time we answer a call for help, maybe a neighbor who says, I need help shoveling my snow or with grocery shopping. Maybe it's a relative who says, can I talk to you? I'm struggling with things. I need someone to talk to. Every time there is a call for help, it's really our own sleeping mind's call for help to wake up to the light. It's really not personal at all. It just seems personal when you perceive it through the ego's lens, but it's actually not personal. And that's why the prayer at the beginning of the course, to be the very early, I think it's the beginning of chapter 2, is I am here only to be truly helpful. I am here to represent the one who sent him who sent me. I do not have to worry about what to say or what to do, for he who sent me will direct me. I am content to be wherever he wishes, knowing he goes there for me, before me, and I will heal as I let him teach me to heal. So whether people believe in God or not, it doesn't really matter. God can be but known. The light can be but known. Theologians, psychotherapists, atheists, agnostics, it doesn't matter. It's all a wash. It's just that every day we receive opportunities to be truly helpful. And the way that we learn to be truly helpful is to go deep into our mind and to release the ego, the belief in the ego. Because that obviously is the most helpful thing you can do, is to release the belief in the ego. Because the ego is the death wish. How could we think we could be happy with a death wish? You know, how could we protect and defend a death wish and think that we would ever know eternal happiness? So I think it's so important because Chris seems to be requested to go on a mission to Solaris, to this planet of light. But for all of us, it must become obvious that this is our own opportunity to go toward the light. That every day we have countless opportunities to remember that we are the light, to teach only love, to demonstrate only love, to be kind, to be loving, be respectful. Let that love of Christ just pour through us and the love of God shine through our mind so that our mind can recognize itself. You know, there's not a whole lot of movies that actually put that out front where the whole goal is self-realization. The whole goal is self-actualization. There's a line in A Course in Miracles where Jesus says, mind reaches to itself. It does not go out. It encompasses you entirely, you within it and it within you. Oh my, what a line. That's just saying our mind is so expansive and so powerful, and we're not really meant to give our beautiful holy mind over to minutia. And actually, time and space are minutiae. You know, in heaven, there are no specifics. There are no cups in heaven. There are no cup holders in heaven. There's nothing. There's no iPhones in heaven. No tablets in heaven. No old-fashioned paper with print in heaven. There's no bodies in heaven. There's no suns and moons. The world that the ego has projected is a world of specifics, and heaven is nothing to do with the specifics, because heaven is abstract light, and that doesn't have any meaning to the human being. But we're going to get a feel from this movie that there's some kind of vast abstraction that doesn't involve specifics, that is our true identity. It's that I am presence. It's our true I am presence is purely love and light. I am light. I am as God created me. So I did reference a couple of Jesus's lessons. I do not know what anything is for, and I do not understand anything I see. The reason is, when people try to fit spiritual awakening into their past learning, which is how they believe they understand things, is based through their past references, that spiritual awakening doesn't fit in the past learning at all. In fact, to the angels, every time you ask a question about your spiritual awakening from a past reference point, the angels, hundreds of thousands of angels, are laughing and going, oh my God, they still are trying to figure out the spiritual awakening from the past reference point, when the problem is the past reference point. The past reference point is blocking the awareness of the light. The past reference point is the obstacle to the awareness of love's presence. And it's not just the past reference point, but the ego projects it to the future. So when you're pondering the future, what you're going to do, how things are going to work out in the future, it's the same thing. You're still pondering the past, although it's projected in a different direction. It's still past preoccupation, and there is no knowing, and there is no understanding by trying to analyze or figure out or fix the past in any way. Imagine going to your housemate or your partners or to your dear friends and sitting down and scratching your head going, help me out here. I don't understand what's happening. And then Snow says, I could tell you what's happening, but that wouldn't really tell you what's happening. That would be a straight answer. Instead of pretending based on past learning that I can organize and conceptually give you a nice pat answer that you will understand. Because there is no understanding in the past. There is no understanding. We have to be clueless. We have to be carefree. We have to be cared for. We have to allow our mind to go into that pristine state of, I do not know what anything is for. I think I said recently at a retreat or a movie gathering that years ago I went to a Zen gathering at the University of Cincinnati Zoo. And I thought, I've never been to a Zen gathering. It sounds kind of cool. So I went there and I think it was a Zen monk giving a talk. And then he got all of us to go for like, I don't know, repeating a mantra over and over and over for, I don't know, for a period of time. And the mantra was, I know nothing. So I went to the zoo, I chanted, I know nothing with a whole group of people out in the sunshine with the animals. And I was so happy. I couldn't believe how happy I was after chanting, I know nothing. Wow, that's an answer to 10 years of university. That'll get you unplugged from 10 years of university. But this is what this is about, because Snow has been living up there. Probably the reason he's alive is because he seems to be more comfortable with not knowing. And I think that's a good indicator for all of us. If they go up to the space station and there's not that many people still alive, and one of them is Snow, he's not trying to do a Snow job on us, which is pull the wool over our eyes. He's actually radiating some, I do not know, and I'm okay with that. You know, he's actually starting to be a reflection of, I don't know what's happening on this planet, but I'm okay with that because there is one within me who does know, and that one is spirit. And all is well in spirit, and all is good in spirit. It's all going to work out great, says the spirit. And that's our intuitive self that is really helping us. But, you know, it's kind of interesting when you start to buy into the story of Earth and evolution and what's happening on Earth and the species of Earth and the civilizations, and you study all your history and everything, that that birth, in terms of the human being, birth seems to be the beginning of that experience called human being, and death seems to be the end. But the whole context is missed, that what if this is a dream, like the nighttime dreams? What if you're dreaming, and when people appear in your dream, you don't think, oh, they were born. They just appear in a scene. And if they leave a scene, they leave the scene. So people in dreams just appear, and then they disappear. They appear, they disappear. We don't have a story attached in dreams to how they got there. When we wake up, we're like, oh, well, I just dreamed I was with so-and-so and so-and-so and this scenario. But we don't have to make up a story about how they got there. Where did they come from? Because we have something in our mind that says that they're a product of our imagination. We were just dreaming of them, dreaming of them. In fact, I think if you take some time to just observe your nighttime dreams, you'll notice that you don't even do that with yourself. You don't often in the dream that you're watching or that you seem to be in, you don't start to say, how did I get here? What came before this scene? You're just fully in the scene that you're in, and you don't even have a question of how you got there. Because somewhere in your mind, it's like it's an imagination. You're just imagining that you're in a scenario with certain people. Sometimes it's kind of funny. You wake up and you tell your best friend, well, I had a flying dream last night. They say, flying? You were flying? Yeah, I was flying. And it's okay. The person doesn't go, you're insane. I'm calling the psychiatrist and we're going to lock you up. Because it's a dream. And because you're just sharing a dream and you're saying you were flying. And they don't necessarily put you away in prison or into an institution because you said you were flying in your dream. Because it's a dream. And it's just an imagination. It's like a little fantasy of imagination. And that's interesting because the I know mind is very suspicious of the light. Imagine if you were a psychologist and you went up to a planet of light, Solaris, and you asked two people, and the first one said, I could tell you what's happening, but that wouldn't really tell you what's happening. And the second one said, until it starts happening to you, there's no point in discussing it. And then you finally get to interview her again, and she says, I don't know, but I want it to stop. You see, this is an indicator that with the spirit and how the spirit heals and how the spirit moves and how the spirit works, it's not for the human being to know, because the human being is a construct or a projection of the ego. It's a projection of the belief in separation. So how can you ask a projection of the belief in separation, give it life, give it meaning, give it biological life, and give it a mind of its own, and give it thoughts of its own, and then questions come, what is happening? That's why you cannot understand spiritual awakening based on the past. And I know I've been at the course for like 37 years, and many times people will say to me, is it dangerous? Well, it's the spirit is seems to be dangerous to the ego, because the ego is afraid of being shown to be nothing. It's a belief that just seems to have existence by being believed in. And Jesus says, you made the ego by believing in it. You can dispel it by withdrawing your belief from it. So you can't expect a mind that believes in the ego to know anything, much less what's in its own best interest. Jesus just tells us, he told us there in the workbook lesson, he said, everything is for your own best interest, which is another restatement of all things work together for good. Everything is in your own best interest. Everything that seems to be happening is the same opportunity to wake up to the light. No more, no less. You don't really have good days and bad days. You can read meaning, like lesson number two, I have given everything I see all the meaning it has for me, and you can call it a good day or a bad day, but that's just the ego calling it a good day or a bad day. But every day presents many, many opportunities just to forgive and say, I don't know, I don't understand, but help me forgive this world. Help me just see its nothingness. That's all I want. I want to just be shown the nothingness of the world, that I may remember God, that I may remember the Christ, my true self. Imagine telling your parent, I could tell you what's happening at school, but that really wouldn't tell you what's happening in school. That's a speed up for everyone involved, especially for the parent too. Parents starts to pull their hair like, Oh my God, I've got an alien baby. Oh my God, they're not of this world. What am I going to do? But that's, a lot of parents have that. They do have indigo children. They actually, they seem to birth indigo children, and then when the indigo children grow up, the parents go to the psychologist. The indigo child doesn't go to the psychologist. The indigo child says, this world is pointless. And then the parent has to go for years of therapy to try to learn from the therapist, why is my child telling me that the world is pointless? But indigo is just an example of like coming in with a higher order of awareness, a higher, seeming higher level of awareness. Now, that's one thing about the light is, as I said before, imagine that the only grievance there ever was, perceived or believed grievance, was the belief in separation from God. But the ego projected out linear time to make it so long and diluted that you would never really having a way of seeing that it's just one error. It's just one error, the grievance, not many, many, many errors over many times and places and scenes and scenarios. But dreams are what Sigmund Freud called dreams are wish fulfillment. And you can see when the mind is asleep, and symbolized by Chris going to sleep at night for the first time up on the space station, that he's dreaming of meeting his wife, you know, seeing her on the train or meeting her at a party with Jabarian and then becoming romantically involved with her and then becoming lovers and so on and so forth. And all of that seems clearly to his mind in the past. But for the human being, they don't have an awareness, the sleeping mind doesn't have awareness that it's always dreaming and that there is no distinction between the past and the future. And there is no distinction between what's happening in dreams and quote real life, because with perception there is no real life, it's all dreams. It's Freud had that right, it's all wish fulfillment. But if your wishes are buried in the unconscious, you have unconscious wishes, unconscious beliefs that are simply just coming up into awareness and playing out and being projected as if to onto a screen in a movie theater, then basically you can see that the mind will continue to believe in these images as long as they are, the mind is attracted to the images or repulsed by the images. The Holy Spirit sees all of form and all of the images as completely neutral. This is the Holy Spirit's function, because the Holy Spirit knows they're just dream symbols that can be used to help the mind let go of the dream and the dream symbols. But to the human being, it actually believes it's actually the dream character. And therefore, it also believes that about all the other dream characters. It believes that the dream character that is the personality self and all the others are real people. And therefore, when these deeper issues of the subconscious mind are played out, they're just played out in terms of skits and plays, like, you know, like Shakespeare. All the world's a stage and everyone must play their part. Many parts, many scenes, many scenarios. And it's just that in this particular moment, his coming close to Solaris is like a speed up. Now, why would coming close to the light in your mind be such a speed up? Because universal law is, there's only one universal law. Isn't it great? You don't have to learn the laws of mathematics, thermodynamics, all kinds of scientific physics laws and this and this. The only law of the universe is the law of love, which is God is love and everything God extends is love and everything that God creates is love. Wow, that's pretty direct and simple. Love begets love, begets love. Love creates love, creates love. Everything that is love, extends love, and is love. Pure love, pure light, pure abstraction. That's what the law is in heaven. And when Jesus spoke the words 2,000 years ago and said, the Father and I are one, he was basically saying, the Father, God is the cause, Christ is the effect, and cause and effect are together. Cause and effect are together. That's the way things really are. God is the cause, Christ is the effect, and the Father and I are one, which is being spoken by the Holy Spirit through Jesus 2,000 years ago, was just saying cause and effect together. The ego is the belief that cause and effect are apart. And because of the belief that cause and effect are apart, which is the ego belief, that's what makes time. Because time is the belief that the past can have an impact on the present and then cause the future. The only problem is the ego invented past, present, and future, and the ego forces continuity onto them, Jesus says in the Course, and it makes this sneaky linear perception that has nothing to do with reality whatsoever. It's just totally fantasy and fiction. But we have Jesus and we have A Course in Miracles. This is what happens if you study this book for 37 years. It demystifies everything. You start to realize that Jesus is teaching us that in truth, cause and effect are together. And if you come anywhere close to the light, you will have all your lessons coming at you very fast, because they're not going to be spread out over centuries and centuries of linear time. They're going to be right in your so-called face, even though your mind doesn't have a face. They're going to be right at you, because everything that you had pushed away in the mind, everything that you had denied, if you come toward that light, everything's going to come up, because you're not having to play it out over centuries. You're going to actually play it out very quickly. You're going to get a chance to move through it very quickly.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Awakening to True Happiness with modern-day mystic David Hoffmeister. You can access more of David's teachings by visiting his website at davidhoffmeister.com. Tune in to David again next week on Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age, heard Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 radio network.